Okay. Today is the 29th July, 2018, Sunday. It is the first lesson of the Six Patriarch Platform Sutta. So we will now get ready, prepare for Puja. Let us compose our mind, develop the faith, Sada, Virya, and mindfully we shall commence Puja. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. Namo Bhansi Sajya Moni Fo. Namo Kwansi Pusa. Namo Kwansi Pusa. Namo Kwansi Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Namo Fo Pusa. Arahang sama sambuddho bhagava Bhutang bhagavantang abhivademi. Swakato bhagavata dhammo dhammang namasami. Supatipanno bhagavato savaka sangho sanghang namami. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Namo attassa bhagavato arahato sammasambuddhassa. Buddhang saranang gacchami. Dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Dutiyampi sanghang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi buddhang saranang gacchami. Tatiyampi dhammang saranang gacchami. Sanghang saranang gacchami. Panatipata veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Adinadana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Kamesu micchacara veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Musavada veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sura miraya maja pamadatana veramani sikkhapadang samadhiyami. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, let us pay respect to Triple Jack. Buddhang Puje. Dhammang Puje. Sanghang Puje. Okay, you all can be seated. Tadasthana, the page 1. We will recite the verse for opening the sutta. The unsurpassed, profound, and wonderful Dhamma is difficult to encounter in hundreds of millions of eons. I now see and hear it, receive and uphold it, and I vow to fathom the Tathagata's true meaning. Okay, then turn to page 408. We are at page 408. Okay. We are ending soon. We got another about 20 more pages to go. Okay. If you look at the commencement date, it's June 14, 2015. Means this 6 Paitiya Sutta, we have been sharing it for more than 3 years. So today, we will continue from page 408. Then maybe in another month or so, we should finish. Okay, page 408, the sutta. Arya Punyanyasa Mahasattva Asva Gosha Arya Kapimala Mahasattva Nagajuna, Arya Kanandeva, Arya Rahulata, Arya Sangha Nandi, Arya Gaya Shatta. So these are the names of all the enlightened beings. I think they are Patriarch, if I'm not wrong. When the 11th Patriarch, Punya Yasa, met Pashra, he asked him, how can I realize Buddhahood? So Pashra was the 10th patriarch. Pashra said, you wish to realize Buddhahood? It is just your present non-realization. So that was what Pranya, Prasha. Pashra told the potential 11 Patriarch. Then Punyayasa said, you say that my present non-realization is the Buddha, but how can I know that? Then Pashra replied, how can you know that your present non-realization is not the Buddha? So he asked him back, the opposite question. Means the question that the potential 11 patriarch asked, he never reflect on the opposite. He said, how can I know? Then this same patriarch tell him, then why don't you ask the question? Why do you doubt? How can you know that your present non-realization is not the Buddha? With that question and that answer, Punyayasa became enlightened and received the Dhamma transmission. Later on, he met great master Asva Gosha. The 11th patriarch this one is not the 11, is it? This one should be 12. This one is a 12, but he was in the sentence he was mentioning the 11th patriarch. Actually, this one should be the 12. Mahasattva Asvaghosha was extremely intelligent. Punyayasha knew that Asvaghosha's conditions were right. He was ready to become the 12th patriarch. Yeah, correct, should be 12th patriarch. When Punyayasha went to teach him, Avaghosha asked, how can I know the Buddha? Punyayasha said, you wish to know the Buddha? He is just still not knowing. So he used the teacher's technique to reply. Asvaghosha said, not knowing the Buddha, how can I know that my not knowing is the Buddha? Then Punyayasha said, if you do not know the Buddha, how can you know that you are not knowing? Your not knowing is not the Buddha. So he used the 10 patriarchs same technique to actually reply to him. Give me a minute. Then what happened was, Asvaghosha said, this is the meaning of seeing, or he used the word soul. You said this and I said that. And we had at the principle, like sawing through a piece of wood. Punyayasa replied, so that's the meaning of wood. But what is the meaning of salt? Asvaghosha said, it's just what you are. And what the meaning? And what is the meaning of wood? Punyayasa said, you had just been sawed open by me. You had just been liberated by me. Then Asvaghosha was instantaneously enlightened. We are at page 409, last paragraph. He left home, received the transmission, and became the 12th patriarch. He was called Asvaghosha, horse cry, because when he spoke the Dhamma, all the horses cried out. He was a Mahasattva, that is a great being, a great Bodhisattva. So if you look at the transmission, both these 11 patriarchs and 12 patriarchs, they received the transmission just from hearing the question. And the question is very simple. Because they asked the 11 patriarch to be, ask the 10 patriarch. He said, how can I realize Buddhahood? So this is the inquiry. How can I realize Buddhahood? Then the answer is, it is just your present non-realization. Correct. He asked, how can I realize Buddhahood? Then the patriarch, the 10th patriarch says, it is just your present non-realization. Means you haven't realized it yet. But then, this is Punyayasa. He went one step further. He said, you say that my present non-realization is the Buddha. But how can I know that? See? So this question comes from what? Use the mic. Use the mic. This question comes from what? From Monday migraine, from the thought, yes. Very good. Thank you. So it's from the Monday mind. Because the Monday mind always want to know. So when you always want to know, when you try to understand it, from knowledge. That's how you cannot understand. So what happened was, Pashva, the tenth patriarch, then replied to him. He said, how can you know that your present not knowing is not the Buddha? You understand? He asked him back the opposite. Because he said, how can I know that my non-knowing is the Buddha? Because you got doubt, understand? Then he asked him back, how do you know that that non-knowing, not the realization yet, is not the Buddha? Because both come from the mundane mind, the thought, and the thought cannot know. And you know what happened? With that question and that answer, Punyayasa became enlightened and received the Dhamma transmission. So easy. Can you also do it? Why cannot? If you don't use your mundane mind, then what is your mind? Silent. Understand or not? Who mind? That's why don't doubt. Don't question. Go into it. Realize it. Because this Punyayasa, he was already a great bodhisattva. So when he met the ten patriarchs, he was really dead serious about realizing Buddhahood. he asked, how can I realize Buddhahood? You realize quite similar, When Hui Ning went to see the fifth patriarch, he said, I came just to seek Buddhahood, nothing else. These people already walked this way before, and they know sinful way is nothing. That's why they came and seek nothing other than Buddhahood. Then the ten patriarchs, in order to make them realize, he said, is it true that you are seeking Buddhahood? He asked him the question. You wish to realize Buddhahood? Then he said, it's very easy. It's just at this moment, your non-realization. Because at this moment you cannot realize. Because he is pointing to his mundane mind. You are using this mundane mind to cultivate. Hui Ning, when he went to see the fifth patriarch, he was born without the mundane mind. So that's why the fifth patriarch knew, when he asked Hui Ning back, he said, where are you from? Oh, he said, I'm a southerner. I came all the way. It took me so long to reach your place. Then the fifth patriarch actually wanted to test him, southerner means you are illiterate, barbarian, is it? How can a barbarian seek Buddhahood? Then the way Hui Ning answered him, he knew this guy has the potential, he has his power. He said, in terms of the physical form, in terms of locality, there is southerner and northerner. But when we seek the Buddha nature, there is no north and no south. We are the same. Then the fifth page, okay, you talk too much. You go to the kitchen. So different beings, they teach differently. So fifth page was very worried that people create misunderstanding. Because a southerner, barbarian, not educated, illiterate, suddenly come. And he got such high intelligence, wisdom and understanding from the past. So if he were to attend the class, he will become awakened very fast. That's why he kept him in the kitchen, refused to let him come out. And he didn't really interact with the monk and didn't even find out what they do. Until Sen Siu's poem came about. Then somebody recited it as he passed the kitchen. The moment he hear that he knew that guy is still at the mundane mind, he hasn't realized the true mind. That's why he was very keen to go and make his mark or comment. He said, can you take me to the place where this poem is? Then he went. Then when he was there, he asked somebody to read it out. Then when he confirmed that is the poem, then he said, I also got a poem. I also want to write a poem. Then he requested that merchant who was there, who read it out to him, to write the poem for him. Then this merchant was very amazed. He said, how amazing, you don't even know how to read, he said, you are illiterate. And you want to write a poem, he said. And you are not even a senior monk, you are just a kitchen guy. Then Huineng replied, if you are a seeker of truth, now always remember this statement, so that you all don't make mistakes. Never slight anybody. Because the one that you slight may be the Buddha. Because you never know who you are talking to. Because Dhamma is this way. That's why don't look down on people. Understand? If you help a beggar or somebody who is in very need for help, you never knew who that person is. It could be Manjushri Bodhisattva. He always like to come in the form of a beggar. So that's why do not slight anybody. When there is condition to do, and you will know, your nature will know, because cannot be like that one. The condition just fall into place. And my nature can know. That's why when Kuan Yin came, 1986, I knew, I saw. It was a very old lady, very old, in white, quite haggard. But I can sense something. Cannot be. How can an old lady at this age then have a student who is so young, that young girl, came, approached me, and called out, not my name, in the morning, marketplace, Silver Engineer. Nobody called me by that title. Then I was thinking, who can it be? Then I saw this lady coming from far, like waving, Silver Engineer. I thought somebody at the back. I looked at the back, nobody. Then she came in front of me. He said, Sifu Yao Jian. He just held my hand and bring me to that old lady. Then I saw that old lady, I knew something already, because condition is such, no reason for all this unless there is something. Then when he passed my hand to this old lady in white, you know what happened now? She opened up my hand in a line. Then the other hand, he took out the vase, Kuan Yin's vase. The moment I saw that vase, my nature rejoiced. I knew it. Then you know what he did? He poured the three gems on my hand in a line. He said, then held my hand. Not much time left. You have to move fast. Immediately I woke up. 1986. And I straight away pay respect to Kuan Yin. Because my nature knew, I got very strong affinity. And I thank her for that one. And it was that moment, immediately, I cultivate non-stop. I just move. Then that 3 years, 86 to 89, everything happened. The teacher come, the guide come, the book come, everything come. Then the nature just arise. That's why everyone is different. Do not slight anybody. Understand? In Hokkien, my kwa sui la. You cannot look down on people. You think they are not serious people. They're not cultivating. They are not dressed up properly. They are not even monk. Or devotee. Then you look down upon them. You say, these people, you don't know how. You can never know. That's why you must have this sensitivity, that nature, to realize all this. Otherwise, not easy. And when he mentioned that, do not slight anybody if you are really seeking the Dhamma. The merchant straight away full of joy. Okay, I will write for you, but please, remember to take me across. When you realize Buddha would say, oh, then the famous poem came out from Hui Ning. He said, Puti Pat Bhu Su Ming Jing Yi Fei Tai Pen Lai Wui Wu He Chu Re Chen Ai. Wow, counter sales poem, like smash it completely. Wow, then everybody start to like amazing. Wow, you never knew with a southerner, illiterate, can come up with this type of understanding. So everybody was surprised and shocked. So under this particular 10 phase here and 11 phase here exchange, it's also very interesting. Tammy and Karen, we are at page 408, covering 409 now. So when he asks, this is potential 11 phase here, he says, Is it that you really wish to realize Buddhahood? Because all these people like Hui Ning, they seek just Buddhahood and nothing else. So this monk also said. That's why when he heard this, the Tenpeitia asked him back, you really wish to realize Buddhahood? Then it's very easy, is it? It's just your present non-realization. Means you haven't realized it yet. And why? Well, you use your mundane mind to meditate. That's why you cannot realize it. This one, you have to teach to people who still have the mundane mind, who has not awakened yet. Then this potential 11 page here, Punyayasa, he asked further, he said, you say that my present non-realization is the Buddha. But how can I know that? See, this is a question from the thought. That's why I asked just now. The question comes from where? Because he didn't investigate. He didn't silence his mind. He just questioned again because it's from the thought, knowledge. Because he said, I really don't have any idea or inkling. How can you say that non-realization is the Buddha? Then when he asked that question, the 10th Patriarch Pashva replied, this one awakened him. He said, how can you know that your present non-realization is not the Buddha? See, he asked the opposite. The moment he asked that, what happened to his mind? Because all this doubt comes from thought. That's why the question of whether you know or you don't know comes from the thought, the duality. So the moment he pushed back the question in the other way, because you want to know, how can you know that non-realization is the Buddha? Then he said, how can you know this non-realization is not the Buddha? You understand? He turned it around. Then he straight away realized that he has been using his thought. Then he silent. Then immediately he connect. Then just like Hui Ke, the second patriarch. So all these patriarchs, they receive the transmission. Do you realize one very weird thing or not? They never meditate. They never do anything. They just talk. I receive a lot of my teaching also talking to my teacher. That's why you must talk to me more. you must get me to talk to you more. But if you don't set up the conditions, I cannot share. That's why I say, report your meditation. Ask whatever question you want. That's the reason why. You need condition for things to arise. So this part is very good, is it? With that question and that answer, Punyayasa became enlightened and received the Dhamma transmission, mind to mind transmission straight away. Then later on, he met the great master Asva Gosha, should be the 12 patriarch, not 11 patriarch. So this Asva Gosha, he also became enlightened straight away. So this one is slightly different. They use an analogy, understand? They use an analogy. So I read to you, somewhere in the middle there. So he also came and see, I think, end of the third paragraph. So this Asva Gosha also asked, how can I know the Buddha? Then the 11th patriarch, Punyayasa, said, you wish to know the Buddha? Then he followed what his teacher told him, the 10th patriarch told him. He is just your non-knowing, your non-realization. Then Asva Gosha said, not knowing the Buddha, how can I know that my not knowing is the Buddha? So again, the same question that the 11th patriarch asked there. Correct or not? Then you know Punyayasa, the 11th patriarch, he said, if you do not know the Buddha, how can you know that your not knowing is not the Buddha? He used the same line of questioning that his teacher asked him by countering the thing. Then Asva Gosha said, ah, so this is the meaning of sawing, is it? He gave this analogy. Actually, at that moment, Asva Gosha actually became enlightened. Then he said, you say this and I say that, and we hack at the principle like sawing through a piece of wood. Like the reader. You try to answer the reader. Like you saw the piece of log. What is your intention? To cut it into two. So he said, the sawing is like I pull, you pull, like question and answer. Then Punyayasa replied, so that is the meaning of wood. But what is the meaning of sawing? Then the potential 12 patriarch said, it's just what you are. And what is the meaning of wood? Punyayasa said, you have just been saw open by me. You have just been liberated by me. So enlightened being, when they talk differently. When I talk to my teacher, other people cannot understand unless they also have the understanding. That's why my teacher used to tell me, in this universe, two of us are now, no need to have other people, because we can understand each other. So that's how Asva Gosha was instantaneously enlightened. He left home, received the transmission, and became the 12th patriarch. So he was called Asva Gosha, horse crying, because when he spoke the Dhamma, all the horses cried out. He was the Mahasattva, that is, a great being, a great bodhisattva. Then Nagarjuna Bodhisattva, the 14th patriarch, is the one who went to the dragon palace and brought back the Avatamsaka Sutta. He was very, very wise. So this one in Mahayana is Longsu Pusa, Nagarjuna. Then Sanghanandi, the 17th patriarch, asked Gayashata, the 18th patriarch, how old are you? The child replied, but he said, I am 100 years old. He's still a kid, look like a kid. But you are so young, say the patriarch. How can you be 100 years old? If I were 100 years old and did not understand the Buddha Dhamma, I would not be as good as a one-day-old baby who did. Hearing such an intelligent answer, the 17th patriarch left the child. Let the child live the home life under him, and later transmitted the Dhamma to him. Oh, now I know. I mean, this child was really a child. He is underage. He cannot renounce the world. He cannot leave the homeland to follow this 17th patriarch. Yeah. But he said, when he asked him, how old are you? He said, I'm 100 years old. So he said, if I were 100 years old and did not understand the Buddha Dhamma, I would not be as good as a one-day-old baby who did. So that is the reason why he wants to follow the 17th patriarch to become a monk and renounce the world. So, in a way, he is very wise as a child. So that was the Xuanhua's commentary. Then we go to the next section of the sutta. Arya Kumarata, Arya Jayata, Arya Vasubandhu, Arya Manohita, Arya Halina, Arya Ayashiha, Arya Basyata, Arya Punyamita, Arya Pranyatara, Arya Bodhidhamma. This is Bodhidhamma. So this one is saying the Bodhidhamma, which is the 28th patriarch. Great Master Hui Ke, the Grand Master, San Sang. I don't know how to pronounce the third patriarch, what is his name? Sen Chang. Then the gay patriarch, Tao Sing. Was it Tao Sing? Tao Sing. Then great master, Hong Ren. Hong Ren is the fifth patriarch. And Hui Ning is the sixth. And the 33rd patriarch. So Hui Ning is the sixth patriarch of the Zen tradition in China. But six plus six plus 28 should be 27. We're 33rd. Means Bodhidhamma is the 27th, I think. 28 is Hui Ke, I think. Is it? He is the first. So he was minus one. Because he is the first, Anasana. Bodhidhamma is the 28, but he's also the first, Anasana. So 28 plus 5, you cannot plus 6, otherwise you double count him. Yeah, correct. So he's the 33rd. Thus, the transmission has been handed down from patriarch to patriarch. In the future, transmit it accordingly from generation to generation. Do not allow it to be extinct. Means do not end the transmission lineage. The assembly heard and faithfully accepted what the master had said. Bow and withdraw. So this part is fairly interesting. They even have the record of all the patriarch before them. So we go to the commentary. Arya Shima, the 24th patriarch, was a native of central India. In his practice of the Buddha Dhamma, he traveled to Kashmir. The king of Kashmir did not believe in the Buddha, but instead followed two non-Buddhist leaders who were intent on destroying Buddhism. As Bhishu were not allowed within the country, the king demanded of Arya Shima, have you entered birth and death? Arya Shima wanted to convert the king. Then he said, I have entered it, he answered. The Buddha's teaching said that practicing the Bodhisattva way, you must give up your head, your eye, your brain, and your blood. You must give up whatever someone happens to need. Now I need your head. Give it to me, since you have ended birth and death. You must give me your head. Can you do it? I don't even have birth or death, say Aryashima. What does it matter if I lose my head? It's yours. Take it. The king slice off Aryashima's head. But instead of blood, a murky white liquid ran out of his neck. The king's arm fell to the ground. No one cut it off. It fell out by itself, because he had murdered an arahant. The king then put the two leaders of the non-Buddhist religion to death, but there was nothing special about their execution. They bleed just like anyone. The king prohibited their non-Buddhist religion and spread the Buddha Dhamma widely. So that was the story. You realize this Aryashima, the 24th patriarch, he is not the only patriarch that lost his head. Later on, after Bodhidharma, I think after Hui Ke, I don't know if it was the third or the fourth patriarch, one of them. The emperor also wanted to chop off his head. So you go and read. And when they chop off his head, it seems they realize no red blood. Only white, like this one. They call it white. Muk. Is it muk? Instead of blood, a murky white fluid ran out of his neck. So this is based on Xuan Huang's commentary. Then we go to the next part of the sutta. This is just to let you understand the history behind. On the third day of the eighth month of the year, what is this word? Gui Zhou. There is a year by this. The second year of the Xian Tian Ruin. Oh, AA 713. Their AA is our AD. After a meal at. Wait, Wan Si. Means the sixth patriarch temple, isn't it? The master said, each of you take your seat, for I am going to say goodbye, means he is going to parinibbana. Fahai said, Fahai I think is a senior foremost disciple. What teaching Dhamma will the high master leave behind so that confused people can be led to see the Buddha nature? See, the disciple now understand what the true mind is, what that Buddha nature is. So this question is very good. Fahai asks, what teaching Dhamma will the high master leave behind so that confused people, means deluded people, can be led to realize the Buddha nature? The master said, this one you better heed the advice. All of you, please listen carefully. So not only during that time and now, referring to you all. If those of future generations recognize leaving me, they will have perceived the Buddha nature. If they do not recognize leaving me, they may seek the Buddha throughout many aeons, but he will be difficult to meet. I will now teach you how to recognize the living being within your mind, and how to see the Buddha nature within. If you wish to see the Buddha, simply recognize living being, for it is the living being who are confused about the Buddha, and not the opposite, and not the Buddha who is confused about living being. When enlightened to the self nature, the living being is the Buddha. If confused about the self nature, the Buddha is the living being. When the self nature is impartial, the living being is the Buddha. When the self nature is biased, the living being, the Buddha is the living being. Next part is the most important. You better listen to this. Is your thought are devious and malicious? The Buddha dwells within the living being. You understand? You understand the meaning or not? How many of you don't understand? One person, two person. Well, the rest understand. So no need to explain. You see, if your thoughts are devious, means what? Wrong thought, understand or not? Malicious means what? You got intention, isn't it? Malicious means selfish intention, isn't it? Then what happened? You are putujana, you are not enlightened. So what happened? The Buddha dwells within those nine living beings, understand? Means you have a Buddha nature. The Buddha dwells there. That's why the other 10 Paitreya just now told the 11 Paitreya, he said, do you really want to seek the Buddha? It's your non-realization. You haven't realized it yet. You cannot see the reality, the truth. To see living being means to penetrate the five angles of my mind, to realize your nature, your silent mind. I read again. If your thoughts are devious and malicious, the Buddha dwells within the living being. But by means of one impartial thought, you only need one impartial thought, means non-discriminative. The living beings become the Buddha. Means that thought is without duality, without delusion. Our mind has their own Buddha nature, and that Buddha is the true Buddha. If the mind does not have its own Buddha, where can the true Buddha be sorted? Your own mind are the Buddha, have no further doubt. Nothing can be established outside the mind. For the true mind or original mind produces the 10,000 Dhamma. Therefore the sutta says, the mind produces, all Dhamma are produced. The mind extinguishes, all Dhamma are extinguished. So this part, to realize enlightenment, the Buddha nature, is Huining's first teaching. You remember the three unique hallmarks of Huining's teaching. When we were on the trip, I think, was it last year, to the sixth Paitreya? Last year, we saw on the pillar, everywhere is written. Huining's unique teaching. The three hallmarks. First, he said, you must realize no thought. Then after that, you go on to realize no mind. Then the last one is, your mind will have no dwelling. This is what Diamond Sutta is all about. This type of cultivation, when you reach this level of cultivation or understanding, your merits and parami is way, way beyond the other cultivation. That's why the wholesomeness that arises from it. To perfect your 10 perfection, to realize Sammasambuddhahood, you have to go through the Diamond Sutta cultivation. So this one is the Diamond Sutta cultivation. The first hallmark is to realize no thought. That's why Huining, when he met the fifth patriarch privately, when the fifth patriarch came to the park about the mundane mind, he said, this mind, you must know how to use it and yet not be deluded by it. So, like Huining, he came to realize nothing is apart from the mind. Everything arise from the mind. That's why he told the fifth patriarch after he became greatly awakened, completely awakened. He said, how amazing is to know that the nature, the Buddha nature, the true nature is originally already perfect. It doesn't need anything. Nothing like that. And yet, all Dhamma arise from that nature. Nothing is apart from the nature. It's just like the Tao, the source of all things. So because of that, this particular characteristic of Huining's teaching, or the hallmark of Huining's teaching of no thought, is very important. If you cannot realize this, you cannot return the mundane mind to the true mind. To realize if you cannot reach the state of no thought, you cannot realize the true mind. So this is to return. To return the mundane mind. So the purpose of cultivating this ability to have the mind which is without thought, that's why you have to realize this, no thought. And that is what meditation is all about. The Buddha always talk about heedfulness. Heedfulness is ever mindful. So when you are without thought, you are just aware. Awareness before the knowing. And the awareness, which is the silent mind, the meditative mind, that is the mind that will allow you to realize your true mind. So when you can achieve this hallmark of no thought, it will enable you to return the mundane mind to realize the true mind. And this is the first thing you must go through for enlightenment to arise. And this first hallmark is just to enable you to go through enlightenment. And this is mostly the sainthood way. The sainthood way will realize either a moment of cessation or as they tend towards anagami and arahant shape. Realization of cessation, which is the nibbanic phase. I don't call it experience, that is not an experience, it cannot be experience. It can be realized by the form of mind. Then it goes into cessation. That period can be longer if you have realized arahantship. Then from there, you need to have these two to cultivate the bodhisattva way. So this part is mainly sainthood way. Then from here on the way, is the cultivation of the bodhisattva way. So is it clear now? What Quilling is trying to tell the disciple, after Fa Hai asks, how can you realize the true mind? To realize the true mind, you have to return the mundane mind. What is the mundane mind? What is this? What is this mundane mind? You have to understand it clearly. It is the thinking mind. The mundane mind is the thinking mind. Condition arising, dependent originating. This one got no reality. It is impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising. This is not real. This is the manifesting mind. This is the, they call it the magician. Understand? The phenomenal world arise when the mundane mind arise. That's why all Dhamma, they are never apart from that nature. That's why the Buddha said, this fellow, mind is the forerunner of all things. He referred to mundane mind. When mundane mind arise, everything arise. So how to return this mundane mind? Because this one is dependent, originating, creating. And how does it create? Heedlessness. How does heedlessness come? The first two links. Avijja. Paccaya. Sankara. Dabasiya. Is it? Dabasiya. So dependent on ignorance arises sankhara. That's why the Buddha says, if your mind is devious, Huineng says, if your mind is devious, means what? Not sincere, understand? Devious and malicious, the two words, remember? when the mind is devious and malicious, means it has ignorance. It's deluded. That's why it will create sankhara. Then the Buddha nature lives within you. You don't realize it. Well, you are preoccupied with the mundane mind. You are lost in thought. You think this is you. That's why you cannot realize your true mind, which is essentially connected to your Buddha nature. Your Buddha nature is within, before the pure awareness. That nature is to be real. That nature is just cessation. Awareness, the pure awareness, is the first thing that arises from that nature. But after that, when the content went in, the mundane mind come about. So you have to realize this is no thought. Once the mundane mind ceases, then only you can realize the true mind. That's why I always tell you, when you meditate, you have to relax, silent, don't do anything until the mind returns to its original state of tranquility, stillness of mind, the silent mind, which is vipassati. When there is no movement, that is your true mind. And that has to be stabilized. If that is not stabilized, you cannot be heedful in the midst of life. You cannot be mindful in the midst of life. Because awareness is... mindfulness is awareness before the knowing, before the perception coming, before the mundane mind coming. It's the pure awareness. Mindfulness is the pure awareness. It's just aware. Before the labeling, before the word, the concept. So to realize that this mundane mind must cease. That's why whatever meditation you do, if it doesn't lead to that cessation, the ending of the thought process, that is not the real meditation. Because without the silent mind, you cannot awaken. Without the silent mind, you cannot realize anything. You cannot even understand how you come about. So this first part is very important. You have to return the mundane mind. So no thought is the process for you to return the mundane mind to realize the true mind. So this is the process. So without this ability to have the silent mind without thought, but this must not be a conditioned state. This has to be a free mind. Because if it's a conditioned mind, in jhana, in absorption, in concentration, also no thought. But that one is not a free mind. And that is not winning teaching. That is not the true teaching. The true teaching of the Buddha and the Patriarch is a free mind. That's why they can be without thought in the midst of life. That is the real samadhi. What is samadhi? Unwavering, collected, without thought. In the midst of time. It's just away. That's why this mind, later on, as it goes through the cultivation, it will come to realize that this mind that is without thought actually has got no mark. You understand? What define a living being? You need self-delusion, isn't it? Sakkaya ditti, isn't it? Without sakkaya ditti, you will not attach to the five aggregate of form and mind. That's why there is a self delusion. Thinking that you exist, understand? Thinking that this form and mind is you. That's how sakkaya ditti comes in. So that mark is the avijja. And the strongest is the atta. The wrong view with regards to the five aggregate of form, thinking that it's a permanent, unchanging entity. Thinking that it's a being that you can hold on to, cling on to, draw on to, and say, this is me, this is I. Therefore, this fellow can own things. All this can be mine. And that is the self-delusion. So without thought, you will straight away through your meditation realize there is no mark of a self meditating. You will know. The form and mind that go through the cessation will know. Because the sacrality comes from here, when the thought arises. Without thought, there is no content. You understand? No content means what? You don't input anything in there. The content of consciousness are your views, your opinion. And they are mainly your wrong view, sakayaditi, self-delusion. That's the reason why when Fahai asked that question, he said, what teaching Dhamma will the High Master leave behind so that confused people can be led to see the Buddha nature? So this is how you have to understand it. Then straight away, Hui Ning said, all of you please listen carefully. If those of the future generation recognize us living being, they would have perceived the Buddha nature. If they do not recognize living being, they may seek Buddha throughout many eons. But he will be difficult to meet, means the Buddha, the realization of Buddhahood. Will be difficult to meet. Means, once you cannot recognize living being, recognize living being doesn't mean I see, sisterly. That one is not recognizing living being. Recognizing living being is you penetrate the five layers of my mind. You are not deluded by it anymore. So, Hui Ning continued to explain. He said, I will now teach you how to recognize living being within your mind, and how to see the Buddha, how to realize the Buddha. So this one is interesting, isn't it? Within your nature. So if you wish to see the Buddha, simply recognize living being, for it is the living being who are confused about the Buddha, and not the other way around. True or not? Where you don't know who the Buddha is, just like the 11 Patriarchs and 12 Patriarchs before they become enlightened, they were asking, how can I recognize the Buddha? How can I realize Buddhahood? And not the other way around, is it? The Buddha who is confused about living being. Then he go on to explain in the third paragraph. He said, when enlightened to the self nature, the living being is the Buddha. This is very powerful. Enlightened to the self nature means what? You think you see light. You don't see light. The mundane mind just sees. No thought. The moment you are without thought, the mundane mind sees that true nature, which was all the while there. Because that one was never born. Understand? The eternal nature. Because it was never born, that's why it's never get old, get sick, and die. That's why it's the eternal nature. And the eternal nature cannot come out and live life. It's not a being. It's not something. It's just that nature. That nature can give rise to awareness, the primordial, the beginning of all life, and consciousness. That is the primordial. That is the beginning. Means the pure awareness. You remember the four circles that came out? I told you from the source came out the pure awareness. That one, the primordial. So from here, the content of consciousness go in and the mundane mind come out. The phenomenal world come out. And when you input the content, it creates the five aggregates of form and mind. Because for you to come to this conditioned world, you need a karmic nature. And that karmic nature need a form and mind. Without the form and mind, you cannot come. So this five degree of form and mind is like a vehicle and a tool for you to come to this existential world, conditioned arising world.
So you cannot see through and realize that this is not real. This is not you. This is karmically conditioned, dependent originating, the five aggregate form. That's why the Buddha said, the five aggregate are empty. Rupa, Vedana, Sanya, Sankara, Vijnana, they are empty. Why? Because they are impermanent. They are dependent originating. And they follow nature's law, the Pancha Niyama. So if you want things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will arise. That's why when you grasp and cling and hold on to the five aggregate of form and mind, wanting things your way, which is not nature's way, suffering will be the result. That's why the five aggregate of form and mind, they are impermanent. They lead to suffering. And because they are impermanent, they are empty, not real. This is how you have to understand. That's why you must recognize a living being. Means, there is no mark of a living being. Not real. The moment you realize no mark of a living being, you already can become very, very wise. That's why first stage of enlightenment, sotapanasi, to be a sotapa, is to realize sakayaditi, self-delusion. The moment you root out that factor, you straight away realize sotapanasi, then path and friction, which I explained before. Then as you continue to develop the understanding and the cultivation, you will severe the other two factors. But before you severe, you attenuate them, sensual desire, you will. That's how you become Sakadagami. When you are able to attenuate this, you got less of this sensual desire, less of this what they call anger, ill will, emotion, envy, jealousy. Then when you reach Anagami, both are rooted out. You got no more of these factors that bind you. You understand them clearly. And you will not be deceived by them. So, sensual desire will not draw you. You will understand the condition things will unfold. No condition things will be the way it is. Your mind is not confused. And no point getting angry, emotional, jealousy, because no mark, no reality. When you realize there's the realization that there's no mark of a self-cultivating, so by deduction, you will realize that all living beings is the same. There's no mark of a living being. That's why the three marks. Then later on, you even realize life is not real. The phenomenal world is not real. All the so-called Dhamma, everything within the conditioned world, not real. There's no mark of life, no mark of existence, no mark of the phenomenal world. They are not real. Then only the mind can be transformed and realize the non-dwelling. It cannot dwell, because dwelling is existence. Anywhere you dwell, you exist. So this non-dwelling is the final outcome. When the mundane mind collapses, you will realize these two. In fact, when the mundane mind collapses, you definitely hit this third one. But before it collapses, you already penetrated the noma to a very great understanding. Then the mundane mind will collapse. Then your true mind, the supra mundane mind, it will always stay in this state of non-dwelling. Okay? So, to realize the true mind, the Buddha nature is not difficult, it's quite easy. If you can realize no thought, then you can come to that realization. So I read through the third paragraph again, now you will understand. When enlightened to the self nature means when you are able to meditate until there is no thought, then that silence will allow you to recognize the true mind. The true mind, which is stillness, tranquility, opacity, no movement, nothing. It's still. No activity, nothing. But it's not cessation yet. We have the cessation. When it comes, the pure awareness also gone. There is nothing at all. The fire agree all cease. But when you realize the true mind, it's just the pure awareness, just the way. You have to realize that first. That is the state of no thought. Then you stabilize that. Means the capacity, when it stabilizes, becomes samadhi. And when you have this samadhi, you can see things as they are. Then you can awaken. Your wisdom keep on arising. Because without the silent mind, without the samadhi, your mind will stir. Every moment of sense experience, when you see something, hear something, smell something, taste something, tactile feel something, or when the memory recall, this mind will stir. Because it's not in samadhi. It's not collected and unwavering. That's why last time I remember, A.B. asked me the question in the Thursday class. It came out in the transcript book, how to develop samadhi in daily life. That one is very good. You go back and read that one now, you will understand. Without this ability to realize that silence, that tranquility of mind, the stillness of mind, you can never develop the daily mindfulness, I tell you. Impossible. If in the midst of formal meditation where everything is so conducive, also you cannot realize that, how can you be in the midst of life with that samadhi? You understand? Means that state of no thought, just aware, continuously aware. Whatever happens, it's just aware. That's why it can awaken, it can insight into the normal, and it can come to a realization and awakening. And the uniqueness of the teaching is the realization of the three universal characteristics of anicca, dukkha, anatta. That one is very penetrating. That one is the third turning. Bhavana maya panya. But you need the first and second turning to prepare yourself to receive the third turning. But for cultivator who has developed it from the past, they don't have to. Like Huining. They hear truth, they will awaken. That's why when the merchant recite the Jing Gang Jing, Diamond Sutta, that was the first time when he delivered the firewood. He heard this merchant who came back from the fifth patriarch monastery reciting this Diamond Sutta. Xin Wu So Zhu. When he reached that part, the mind must have no dwelling. He straight away came to great awakening. Because his mind was like that. He don't have a mundane mind. His mind never dwell anywhere. And just imagine, as an illiterate woodcutter, at that time his mind was like that. He was without the mundane mind. And not only without the mundane mind, it doesn't dwell anywhere at all. That's why this type of being are very rare. That's why he went in and asked the merchant, what is this thing that you are chanting? Then this merchant was very amazed. So he said, why do you ask? You mean you can understand? He said, yeah, not only I understand. It make sense to me. And it has great meaning. Well, my mind was like that. My mind never dwell anywhere. So the merchant knew already, this guy is gifted. He said, he asked the merchant, where can I find this teaching? He said, you have to go to that temple of the fifth patriarch in the north. Then he worried about the mother, because the mother, he was the only son. The merchant said, you don't worry, I will take care. You go, and I'll pay for everything. That's how condition arise. So what I'm trying to tell you is, if you have cultivated before, this life you come, you no need the third turning. either first turning or second turning, you will awaken. Like Kondanya. First turning, he just listened. Then he awakened. Then later on, when he went to the second sutta, the Buddha, after he finished Dhammacakkappavattana Sutta, he continued with Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, the Sutta on Non-Self. All the five become Arahant. Why? It's very, very direct. He has prepared that. So like Kondanya, the moment he realized, after that, the Anatta Lakkhana become like very easy. He straight away will understand. Then because of the confidence, when Kondanya awakened, the other monk also starts to understand what that thing is. That is the second turning wisdom that they developed. But these other four monks, they don't have that paramita to be awakened after the first turning. But the first turning helped them a lot. Then they reflected, they contemplated, then the second turning stabilized their understanding. Then they are ready for the third turning. There's an Anatta Lakkhana Sutta, when it was spoken, straight away, all become Arahant. Yeah. So this is how enlightenment can happen. Yeah. They were not sitting doing meditation, do you realize that? They just listened, and they awakened. Well, after you are prepared, first and second turning, if you have done from the past, the first turning you come, you will awaken. But if you have prepared yourself, the first and second turning, when you are ready, then any of the three turning will awaken. That's why it doesn't mean you must see. That's why Bodhidharma, the book, when is the book coming out? Tuesday, very good. This book, which I think the 75th lesson, 6 page here. We are printing it. This one, I like it because that day I summarize all of the cultivation there. Then I even explain the Bodhidharma, how when he came over from India, how the abbot and all those people, they don't know who he is. They saw him come alone with just a slipper and very shabbily dressed. So they looked down upon him. But then later on, they realized he was very great. So it all started with a three-day silent meditation that they were having. Then the dialogue was very good. And that one will make you understand what cultivation is. We at that time, the abbot and all those monks think that they must sit in silent meditation. The longer the better. Then one day they will become enlightened. So they were doing that. Then after that, all the three, including the abbot, I think, broke the rule of silent, not speaking. Then finally, after all the four broke the rule, they heard this grinding sound from Bodhidharma. Bodhidharma was grinding the glassware against the table. Then they all questioned him, what are you doing? Bodhidharma asked back, what are you all doing? The abbot and the monk quickly replied, we are sitting in Zen, silent meditation, to realize Buddhahood. So Bodhidharma said, I am buying this glassware to become a mirror. Everybody laughed. Say, how can? It's a glassware, how can it become a mirror? He said, then likewise, you think by sitting silent, you can become Buddha? You can realize enlightenment? Then they look at him. What do you mean? He said, basic Dhamma also you don't understand. You just sit without understanding. How can you realize Buddhahood? Then the abbot start to ask. Then how can we realize Buddhahood? Everybody say must sit. So he says, sitting without understanding will never bring forth the enlightenment. Then he said, you must understand the basic teaching of the Buddha. He said, you must start from mind. Sing wei ken ben. Just like this one. The mundane mind and the true mind. He said, this basic thing about the mind also you don't understand. He said, it's from the mind that everything comes to be. Good and bad, duality, right and wrong, wholesome and unwholesome. They all manifest from this mind. Then, because of this, the karma also same. It comes about because of this mundane mind, the differentiating mind. Means they call it fen-bie-sing, the mind that discriminates. So he said, when you understand this, then you know how to start your cultivation. Then you know how to follow the advice of the Buddha to take care of karma. And how to do it? Follow the advice of the Buddha. Avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. That's how the precepts come in. That's how the daily mindfulness come in. Then he straight away tell them all, you can go and meditate the same old way. You're wasting your time. Then they ask him, if that is the case, how can we really start? He said, I already told you, sing wei ken fen, start from the mind. And they go and take it as well. Basic. They taught basic Buddhism. So they say, all this basic, we already see the mind now. One of them was the abbot. How can you ask us to go back to all those basic elementary practices? He said, no, sing wei ken fen is to understand the mind before you even move into meditation. If you don't understand what you are doing in the name of meditation, you're wasting your time. If you don't know who you are, what you are, that you got two minds, you are wasting your time. That's why after that he explained. He said, the embodiment of the Buddha is his wisdom and perfection of virtue. It's not how he sits, how he walks, or how he do things. That is just the external manifestation of his Nimanakaya, the functional body. That is not the Buddha. The Buddha is the embodiment of his awakening, his wisdom, his perfection, his virtue. And this one you cannot copy, you cannot learn. You have to awaken. That's why no amount of sitting, he said, if you think you sit like the Buddha, walk like the Buddha, eat like the Buddha, you can become the Buddha. You can't, because this is form dhamma, is it? Nothing to do with the cultivation. The cultivation is mind, is it? Mind dhamma. You have to go to the mind. You don't sit there and like a lock anasana. They go into concentration, samadhi, absorption, all that. That is not meditation, you don't know. Then only they realize the real meditation is just relax and silent. That's how it all started. And it's all in the book. You wait for the book to come out. Then you go through it. That one will help you. That one, that day, I summarize all of the cultivation, and it is very useful. Okay? So now we will return to the third paragraph. 4:30 already, I have to end here. He said, when enlightened to the self nature, the living being is the Buddha. If confused about the self nature, the Buddha is the living being. When the self nature is impartial, impartial means no discrimination, no duality, no confusion, nothing. Then the living being is the Buddha. When the self nature is biased, The Buddha is the living being. Then after that, he explained further. He said, when your thoughts are devious and malicious, devious means deviant, wrong view. Malicious means bad intention. Then the Buddha dwells inside the living being. This one we explained already. But by means of one impartial thought, that's why you must realize one thought of cessation without greed, hatred, and delusion. Pure thought. the living being becomes a Buddha. This is what they mean by the sainthood way. One glimpse of sensation. Yeah. Our mind have their own Buddha, and that Buddha is the true Buddha. If the mind does not have its own Buddha, where can the true Buddha be sorted? As I do not search outside. You have to search within. Within your nature, everything is there. That's why he said, your own mind are the Buddha. Have no further doubt. Nothing can be established outside of mind. For the original mind or the true mind produces the 10,000 Dhamma. This is what the Diamond Sutta expressed. All Dhamma is never apart from that nature. Therefore the Sutta said the mind produces. All Dhamma are produced. The mind extinguish, actually should be cease. All Dhamma cease. It's exactly the same as what the Buddha used to express in the Dhammapada verse 1 and 2. The Buddha said, mind is the forerunner of all things. Mind is chief. When mind arrives, everything comes to be. When mind ceases, everything ceases to be. Just like everything is dependent on originating. Condition arising. Mind is the forerunner of all things. That one is very powerful, very important. When you silence and meditate, you will come to see that very clearly. Every movement arises from that silence. Without that movement, there is nothing. And yet you are not dead, no. You understand? When there is no thought, nothing, you are not dead, understand? Even you enter Nibbana, realize Nibbana, when the whole pure awareness also ceases, you cannot describe. And yet you are not dead, you know, no. That pure nature sustains the life, what they call the life, what you call it, that existence. Although there is no heartbeat, nothing, everything ceases. It's like a dead man, a dead person. What is the difference between a dead person and a person in Nibbana? Yeah? Yeah. The dead person, the four elements, straight away disintegrate. That's why one by one is gone. But the one that is in that state, it won't grow cold, not like the body become cold. Then the elements starts to break up. This one, the earth element, water element will not break up. But the wind element also no more. Understand? It completes cessation. No movement, nothing. Mind also don't have. Activity also don't have. That's why I told you all last time, the brain here, completely no activity at all. It's like nothing inside there. Not only nothing, it's not empty at all. It's completely ceased. It's like a transformer or a dynamo or what you call a motor or your car engine. You tune until perfect until no sound. That one still not ceased yet. Cease means completely cease. The electricity all not there. Means no rotation, nothing. Everything like that. And yet, you no need to ask somebody to switch it on to start on. The moment the condition arise for it to come back, the consciousness will come back. And I remember it come in here. Come in here. Then from there, it's aware, straight away aware. Then I check up there, completely nothing on. Then I saw how this consciousness come out. Take over the brain, zoom, zoom, like a dynamo, start again. But very slow. Then how the respond from memory, how the thought slowly arise. Then how it receives external sense data. You can see them all. Creation start again. Then how it activates the heart area. Then how it goes to the content area and activate. And then this one becomes a human being again. Then it starts again. That's how you come to know that this is not real. Without the consciousness, it's like without the power supply. You understand? And when the power supply comes back, you can see, because the awareness is fully aware. And it can know what is happening. That's why the whole process is not what you think. It has to go through the cessation. And cessation, you cannot talk about it. There is no mind, nothing. No, not even pure awareness. Everything is. And yet, you don't die. But parinibbana is different. The moment you parinibbana, you don't come back. And then, because that parinibbana means completely cessation, then after that, there is no more life force. Understand? That karmic supporting life force. That's why under the sutta, there are two types of arahant. You heard about arahant with residue. And arahant without residue. They go and interpret as the Mahayana one. Mahayana one also got this. What would they use already? Low. Outflow. And the Mahayana outflow, you know what is that? Yes, the arahant that has not gone through the bodhisattva way, the mundane mind hasn't collapsed, that one got outflow. Outflow of thought. Cessation of birth and death established. No more rebirth. But cessation of thought, heaven. That's why there is outflow. So, arahant with residue means the five aggregate of form and mind. The supportive karma is still there. That's why we residue. And this one won't realize parinibbana. When it realizes parinibbana, the life was also gone. Without residue, then it ceases. That's how the Buddha and all the arahant realize parinibbana or the enlightenment. So parinibbana means no more residue. But the Mahayana one is different. The Mahayana, they want to separate between the normal arahant way and the bodhisattva way. So the arahant way, the enlightenment, they always say that nibbana that they realize is a conjured city. You know what is a conjured city? You don't know what is the word conjured? Like you create one. Like the magician, they conjure the illusion or whatever. So it's just like a conjured city. Your realization is nibbana, correct? But it's not that one that the bodhisattva they all went through. Because that one is completely different. Because that one are for the beings that has gone beyond the mundane mind. The mundane mind collapsed already. That's why when they went into that one, there is no more outflow. No more outflow means they term that as the ultimate nibbana. But to me, both are the same. No different. Understand? So don't go and listen to what people tell you. When you realize nibbana, even one glimpse, or the arahant and the anagami, when they can go into it for quite long period, that nibbana is no different from the nibbana that the Buddha realized. Because it's cessation. You return to the source. It's not a person return to the source. Understand? The mundane mind realizes itself and returns. You remember the four circles? First one is what? This is the sauce. So from the sauce, you come out. Then what is this one? Through mind or the pure awareness. Through mind or the pure awareness. So this is the first instant, understand that? So this is the first instant. We call it BA, pure awareness, or the true mind. DM. Then this one is the what is this one? Mundane mind. So this one is the mundane mind. So this one, mundane mind. Then this one is the phenomenal world of consciousness. This is how living being came out. Because you lost the way. And you forgot who you were. You forgot your source. Like your hometown. Where you came from. Then you forgot you got a true mind. Understand? Because after that, this fellow very active. The mundane mind, the thought world, the thought process. This is where all the delusion, the wrong view, everything is here. Then after that, it creates the phenomenal world. To you, it's like very real. Phenomenal world of sight and sound. Consciousness. That's why he's like a great magician. And everything is like surreal. So how do you return? You have to develop through the direct seeing to see that all these are not real. They are impermanent, dependent originating, condition arising, including the five energies of form and mind, which is the mundane mind. Initially, you see outside. Then through the silent mind, that's why you got to connect back to the silent mind, the true mind. Use this to meditate. That's why the triangle, remember? The triangle. This is where your senses is. So this senses is where your five energy of form and mind. These are all in the Heart Sutta book. You don't have to copy. It's all there. Then this one is here. Up here is the Veda. This one is wisdom. So this one is like your consciousness. So initially up here, it's just your pure awareness. before it create. Understand? So this beyond awareness, if you use it to meditate, this is the direct seeing. You understand? So direct seeing lead to what? Awakening. Okay? This is what is this? Mundane seeing. So this mundane seeing is the one that create the five aggregate of form and mind, the phenomenal world. So this is where suffering is, delusion is. So here, all the deluded beings are caught here. So this mundane seeing is the result of self-delusion. So this one comes from self-delusion, when there is no wisdom. So this one is the creation, they call it the creation. Mind is a forerunner of all things. When mind arises, everything arises. So to meditate, you have to use this. Then when you are connected with the wisdom, when the wisdom is connected, this wisdom is connected, this is what enlightened living is all about. You understand? Wisdom connected to the five aggregate of form and mind, then this five aggregate of form and mind no longer deluded. So this one will not suffer. But when this is not connected, you cannot. That's why all of meditation, you have to go through the direct seeing. This is the pure awareness. This is the silent mind. So in order to return, what happened is, this one created by one. The phenomenal world is a world of consciousness created by one. Why the mundane mind? Understand? So how do you return this external phenomenal world? You have to return to? To your mundane mind. That's why here is form. Understand? Like the flag and the wind. External form. You return to mind. That's why Huineng told the two Samaneraman, your mind move. Here is to meditate, silence your mind, and to see how it creates. How from here, when you react and stir, this one come about. So when you realize that this creation come from this, you just silence and return all this. You understand? When the mind does not arrive, all this cease. You understand? So in order to live life, you cannot run away from the phenomenal world, understand? The world is still the world. So what you do? You need wisdom, understand? That's why in the midst of mark, there is no mark. That wisdom will allow you to live the third seeing. Kan san, yu si san. That's why you can live in the midst of mark. Because you have wisdom. There is no mark in the midst of mark. That's how this one that has the wisdom connected will understand the phenomenal world, then you can live the enlightened living, the enlightened life of an enlightened being. This is noble living. So this is the understanding. So when you return to this, then how can this return to this? How can you return to the true mind? Just now we went through that. You must meditate until no thought. How to meditate until no thought? No need to do anything, isn't it? The mind will cease. It's dependent originating, condition arising. No avidya, no sankhara. Why can't you understand that? Why can't you accept things as they are? The mundane mind that is untrained without the spiritual faculty will think, will stir, will have the hindrance. What must you do? Don't fight. Don't suppress, don't control the hindrance. Don't do anything. Just let them be. And what happens? The energy will dissipate. That's why the very flowering of thought is the very ending of that thought, like Krishnamurti says. So, silent, the third way, understand not? The five ways that the Buddha taught. The third way is what? Just aware, no need to do anything. But that one will not give you wisdom to live life yet. Because every time you got problem, go back and meditate, silent, then peaceful. Then come out, problem again. So, from the third way, what do you do? You go to the fourth way, understand? You trace the origination factor. Then retrospectively reverse it. Means you ask yourself, why did my mind stir? Understand? The origination is from the senses. Yes, correct. That's how it comes. So it's stir because of wrong view, avijja. So I find out what is avijja. Then next time, how can I see things as they are, and yet do not react and stir? Means I have to have the wisdom to accept the reality of the moment. And the wisdom comes from the direct seeing, all this. Like the Buddha says, thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise, because of nature's law. When conditioned like that, things will be like that. Whatever that arises, there are causes and conditions behind. And these causes and conditions is always karma. The Buddha already explained to Asajj Deo, the five ascetic. So because of that, all this can be understood. Then when you return the phenomenal world back to the mundane mind, then when you silence your mind through no thought meditation, you realize the true mind. And when you realize the true mind, this is very near the source. Understand? This one will only cease when avijja is completely rooted out. Do you understand? You can realize the true mind before the enlightenment. But most of the case, the moment you realize this, you are very near enlightenment. At least, maybe near to Sotapanna already. That's why this is not difficult. But for you to really cease completely and realize at least arahantship and return to the source, which is Nibbana, then you have to completely root out the ten fetters, the avijja, the ignorance. So this is clear now. So now you go back, you read the Hatsutta, it becomes very easy. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay. Any questions? We are today one somehow got conditioned. Then I go into it. It's like a revision for you all. But now the overall picture is clearer than. Well, last time, like the first few times you listen, it's like you liabuk, you know it's very beautiful, very interesting. But only this part, that part. But the whole picture not there. So now one shot, the whole picture come out. Anybody got any question? Or anybody want to come out and try to explain again? Hey, Rio, very good. To test your understanding. Otherwise, you cannot. You cannot express it out with the drawing already there. Let Amy try. You want to try? After meditation. Okay, we have short meditation. I give you 15 minutes. Okay. I set the alarm. 15 minutes of meditation.
Okay. You all can slowly, mindfully, go on the meditation. Then we can continue with our reporting of meditation, followed by whatever Q&A, question and answer. Okay, we'll open it up. Anybody wants to share their meditation or ask any questions, you can. Anybody? Or try to explain what we went through just now. Pass to MB.
Good afternoon, Mr. Steele. Good afternoon, Mr. Steele and all parameters of Sunday class. First of all, to say sorry because I arrived late just now because IGBA was hosting a seminar Bojang Valley. Professor or something like that.
He did a research there.
A researcher there. Then he was telling us they are trying to get the appeal to the new government to apply Bujang Valley as a
heritage
through this UNESCO. So I hope they can be successful.
Yeah.
Bujang Valley, Bujang, the word comes from the other meaning, I can't remember. That the other one I remember is Bujang actually comes from Sanskrit word Bojangga. To him, he said, it's wisdom. To us, our parita something is on enlightenment. The seven
enlightenment
factors
factor.
Of enlightenment.
Enlightenment factor.
Bujang actually comes from the word bojang. So the other meaning, I can't recall, I don't know why.
The Malay word, not married, is bujang.
Actually, no, it's not bachelor. The bujang is a bachelor. But there's another meaning. It comes from Sanskrit word. So that's why I was late a bit. Before I want to try to give some example, I would like to thank all the Dhamma sharing by Brother Teo when I was not around, not able to attend. And I want to thank Brother Jing Tao especially for uploading the recording by Sister Lee, Sister Pak Mansuri, and Hui Rong, all the three classes, and those people who are so patient and spend their time and energy to
the
prepare the short notes.
Sister
Manuan, Sui, Sister Yun
Chan,
Yuan Chi, all of them. I benefited so much. After I came back from the Europe trip, I was not feeling well, so I was out. I didn't attend class, so I spent my one whole week listening to all the talks that I gave. The short notes, all those, really helpful.
It helps a lot.
Then I get to listen to the extraordinary singing in all the three classes. All the three classes were mentioned.
The one was really good.
So I thank all of them. Thank you very much. Even Sister Christina Hausana also
That one very good.
I never miss anything.
That one was very good. The Hausana one, a lot of good example. Can give people the understanding how to apply the basic simple Dhamma to improve your life, to help solve a lot of worldly problems. That was very good.
I just want to quote maybe one example on this. During one of my gym, myself and my second daughter, she was a Tao Yu. She planned for us where to visit all those. And then when we came to a so-called, I can't remember the name. Difficult to pronounce. There was one, this museum. Thousands of visitors line up.
Louvre, they call it the Louvre.
At the back, there's a beautiful garden.
Yeah, then there's a pyramid. There's a pyramid on the in front.
No, not that one.
With the glass pyramid, not that one.
We went there, but the incident is not there.
Oh,
there's
okay.
Another place under hot sun.
Oh,
okay. Gate A is priority, entrance gate B, which we were supposed to find out.
Okay.
Non-priority.
Yeah, a lot of China tourists.
They were waited before the gate even opened.
Already long queue.
So that time, Jim, I think, was hurting his ankle or whatnot, Then my daughter see this. Is it difficult for him to walk the floor? The museum is very big.
Yeah, museum is very big.
I don't know how she got this idea and appeal to the ticket
people. My father twisted his ankle, I don't know how she stayed. Then we get a wheelchair.
Yeah, yeah, they will pass to you the wheelchair. Jim sitting in the wheelchair. Two of us managed to follow the person in charge of the staff.
Went into the gate A priority, overthrown all the queues.
Everywhere we go with the leaf and then go and see all those things, all the exhibition, all those art things. The thing happened is we are now supposed to go to the garden because no wheelchair allowed beyond that point.
Yes.
After we visited and then we went to the actually it's before the entrance of the garden.
Suddenly
one staff, a man staff came rushing. Because the France people, I think they are very arrogant a bit. They know how to speak English, but maybe not so fluent. So I think some misunderstanding is there. And then because we hang our backpack at the wheelchair he can snatch it. Very angry, don't know. The kind of body language is very rude. So with that condition, that's why Brother still say without condition nothing will happen. My daughter started to get angry, agitated. How come you are so rude? We are going to return you the wheelchair. Can't you see we can return you immediately right now? We can push it back for you. But that fellow, they just take away our property, all those belongings, and then try to collapse back the wheelchair, rob away the wheelchair. Imagine if, let's say, Jim is really a OKU or what.
Then a lot of problems.
Don't know what he is trying to tell us. To me, I see that. You will learn a lot.
Yeah, they are not involved in the whole commotion.
The whole commotion, you are not involved. You are just aware as an observer.
Yeah.
So at the first 5 minutes, I just look at them.
Very good.
Very good. I felt that man, that staff, has a duty to perform. My daughter has a duty to voice out how can you be so rude to a, let's say, elderly man sitting in a wheelchair. She's trying her point, stress her point. He is trying to do her duty, his duty.
But the understanding is there. Very important. After that, I said, they are still very, don't know, angry, unsettled, all emotional, with the language barrier, that's why words divide all this. Then I just said, relax. Then anyway, let the man in the wheelchair. It's okay.
And now my daughter put her anger on me. How can you fight him? No, I don't tell him. Both of you to be relaxed. Actually, I say to the man, relax, relax. Because I understand he doesn't understand our language. And he is the way he is. To him, it is his duty. And when he sees something not in accordance, he will react. So you have to understand people. Then when you want to talk to people, it's your approach. If you approach him with understanding, he will be different.
What I normally do is I say, okay, sorry, we don't know that the rules are this. Thank you, thank you. Sorry. Then things will get resolved. You should thank people first. Or you should say sorry. When you say sorry, they will be different. We are new, we are from Malaysia, we don't understand the rules. So if you have done anything wrong, I hope you can understand that we are first time here. Or we are tourists. They are different.
They knew every visitors are tourists.
Correct, but you talk to them, the way you talk to them, a lot of people get into violent anger, argument, and got beaten up. I have seen them get beaten up. Because to them, they think it's in China. and you know those rich lady couple, in China, their husband very powerful. They can tell you all about them. You are just a worker, is it? So to them, in China, you are just a staff. You cut out from them, I tell you. But in Western countries, it's different. They are more powerful than the politician. Politicians also dare not touch them. Because you stir, they can create issues for you. So you have to resolve it. Then now, recently, it's quite bad. Now they know the Chinese tourists got money. Now they rob your bus, your baggage and all. Very severe. The thing has gone out of hand. So a lot of things is happening. There's a condition arising thing. It will evolve this way. Then if you are not careful, you go and visit all these countries. You may end up, if you got negative karmic from the past. I tell you, if you don't know how to conduct yourself, You can end up miserable. So as conditions evolve, society becomes different. So you cannot take for granted. You have to be very careful. Well, recently, a lot of cases. France or Paris. A lot of robbery. You come out, they snatch your handbag, and they come in group and rob you at the train station, everything. Because they know the money inside. and a lot of valuables. Yeah, you continue.
Okay, so after that, I think my daughter is still angry, burning with her own opinions, views, like what Brad always said. So I can see very clearly when the person is angry, all red, the face, no more her own character.
Your whole emotion overwhelms your character. And you become that thing. That is what becoming is all about. You remember the dependent orientation? Upon contact, feeling arises. That feeling, without wisdom, straight away becomes craving. Then when the craving is very strong, it drops. Then it becomes. That's how you become that anger. You become that unhappy emotion of that. Commotion. You are no longer your normal self. So you can see it happening. And then it not only happens in other people. It starts with yourself. When you are aware, mindful, and sensitive, that movement inside is so clear, so strong. And you can see it. Then when you have the awareness and the sensitivity, it can't arise. Because this one, the movement is so sensitive, that you realize the Dhamma straight away comes back. Dhamma is what? Wisdom, yoni so manasikara. That's why you act according to Dhamma understanding, according to wisdom. So immediately the understanding arises. Sankara anicang, sankara tukang. Then all Dhamma are impermanent, empty, no mind, nothing. Then straight away, this one loses its power. That's why wisdom will free you. Then you know how to apply the Noble Eightfold Path. Because you reflected, you contemplated. You always say sorry if I have caused you any misunderstanding, whatever. Then resolve it then. That's why a lot of incidents, the person actually who made that mistake, When they heard me say sorry, they also feel funny. They look at me and they smile. Then they say, oh, okay. Then they talk to their friend. Tadi itu orang Malay, tadi itu orang minta maaf, sorry from me. Actually, I yang langgar dia. I back, he back into me actually. Then I straight away prevent him from falling. I say, sorry, sorry. I say, I was not careful. I obstructed your way. But he knew, he was the one who banged into me. That's why when I say that, he was so surprised. And there was no emotion, nothing. And he felt funny. He went and tell the friend. He said, tadi itu orang. He said, I langgar dia tau. Tapi dia minta maaf. You can hear it clearly. Say, then I just smile and walk. Then everything get resolved. So don't try to be right. The ego. Then you try to explain also problem. Because people may not understand you, like the case, language problem. You explain means you try to justify. The ego is still there, and you try to explain so that he can become more reasonable. No point. When you are in such a situation in a foreign country, you better apologize. Whatever it is, sorry, sorry. Then things will be more controllable. Always remember, it's nothing wrong being what they call gentle in your approach. You need to apologize. I'm really sorry. I also don't know what happened, but I think it's my fault. By admitting that, make a lot of difference, Even car accident also same. Are you hurt? Oh, you are not hurt. Thank you. If you want to use thank God also can, it's up to you. Luckily, is it? Most important, we are not hurt. Then all this accident, no problem. You claim my insurance. You invite him to claim this. It doesn't mean you admit you are wrong. He said, you can claim my insurance, no problem, I got insurance. Then it will be resolved. You try to justify why you so stupid, never look at the road. You didn't see my signal light. I tell you, you say all this, you are going to be whacked, I tell you. He already very unhappy with the accident, you somehow tell him all this. So it's how you understand people's feeling, emotion. And this is how you apply Noble Eightfold Path. Gentle, pleasant, and good speeches to resolve issue amicably. Don't create unnecessary misunderstanding and problem. Why do you want to be right? Why do you want to argue and justify? No point. Even sometimes our own children also say, just smile. Okay, I think that he was not careful. Thank you for the advice. Then get it resolved. Then, like your daughter, if he continue again, you will see, you will feel it also. Then you just smile. It's okay, mommy understand. Yeah, you have the point, don't worry. Not to say mommy want to cite them, because I look at it differently. Got condition that you talk. Where we are in a foreign land, the language barrier. So no point trying to justify, explain. Resolve it. More important is to resolve it amicably so that we avoid unnecessary situation and problem. More important is take care of daddy. This is more important than anything else. But for my son, he very good. If me or my wife got problem, he will take care of us first. He will not argue, he will not fight, but he will take care of us. Because he gives importance. Like when I was going through the NGO, he checked up a lot of things for me. And he tell me, that you cannot take it lightly. This is heart attack. He keep on reminding me, do you know this is heart attack? Then I smile. I say, thank you so much. Then he was very happy. And later on, he even told us, that was the first time he felt that he has to do his part, because he know without me, the family will be different. Because he know how I bring up the family. That's why he was so worried for us. And every time he will remind my wife, mommy, daddy, take care. So you look at how they actually understand. It's very beautiful, very beautiful. Okay, good. Continue. Anything else?
Yeah, Very good. After that, okay la, to let her cool down.
Yeah.
I also wanted to go toilet. I let her cool down.
Yeah. Very good. Then you just
excuse yourself. Don't give her any more chances to be.
Yeah, very good, very good. Ah, that's also very good. That's why there are many ways to resolve things. Sometimes you can just say some pleasant thing. Yeah, thank you, mommy, appreciate it. Mommy need go toilet, can you take care of daddy? Off you go. Very good. And you continue to maintain your composure. Very important. When you can maintain your calmness, like what Amy went through, this is not the first time. Last time was the accident, he told me. He saw the thing like an awareness that is aware of the whole thing. Then, very calm, calm down, resolve it, settle. This is what mindfulness and Dhamma can make a difference to your life. You no longer like a normal person, stir, emotional, get involved in the commotion, then everything, somebody they say hell break loose. Because you don't know what you are doing and you are causing so much what they call reaction from people around. Always be sensitive to what happened. Then the understanding becomes different. Because it's not about you anymore. It's to resolve things amicably, resolve issues, avoid misunderstanding. That's what Noble Eightfold Path is all about. Why can't we do this? Why straight away the mind becomes egoic? Want to defend our right. Then want to argue, justify. No point. This is acting according to conditioning, memory. This is not acting according to wisdom, understanding. When you have Dhamma, you act differently. You act with understanding. You feel for the people. Very good. Want to explain? The one on the bottom? That one will help.
You already helped to assist.
Yeah, that's why I say with this, it's a lot easier. But you have, you try out by using your own words, it will help. Then try to understand, then describe the thing. Because initially when you hear, you listen, you think you understand. But when you need to express it out, you cannot. That's what I mean by path and friction. Path means you already have a glimpse of it, cessation. You understand it already. So when it's spoken or shared or mentioned, then you can follow, you can understand. But this one needs to be stabilized. Then when you reflect and contemplate, it becomes clearer and clearer, clearer and clearer. But the understanding is already there without you knowing it. Because when you have the understanding, when you confront situation like what happened, you know how to deal. You know how to see it from the awareness point of view. That's why that thing is there. You will not stir like before already. But when this one stabilizes and becomes very clear, then you can express it. You can share it. That is the phase you have to develop. Because the sharing part has to come from your understanding. So when you can express it out and share it, initially it may not be fluent. It's okay. But after a while, you will develop the understanding and skill. Then later on, when you realize that you have that understanding stabilized, you don't need to have any notes or any what they call book or anything to guide you. Off the cuff, you can just express it. If I depend on memory, I cannot share with you what is on the board already. Because this one comes from inside. It's the understanding. Then whenever there is condition, if it's appropriate, the understanding will come up. Then sometimes the sharing can come from different directions. Then you understand it differently. Because a lot of the sharing now, I do it differently because people are ready. People are ready. So I don't have to, like last time, go back to basic, slowly understand share the basic, then after that, share the teaching. Now I realize, no need. Now people are more ready to understand. So a lot of people, when they attend the class or they listen to the audio, they will come to understand. is very different now, because now the consciousness is so different. Like the ability to understand and absorb is very different now. That's why the sharing that come out, the Dhamma that come out is totally different nowadays. And nowadays condition can just arise or not. Sometimes without a lot of you all knowing it, but it just manifests. Even at the retreat. But at the retreat, most of the time is not Kayanita's wish or what is up there what they want. Then they condition the people down there to set up the condition. That's why sometimes we chant certain things, sometimes we do certain things. Then certain type of question come out. Like that guy, the new guy from Penang, what's his name? PBA from PBA. Sometimes he come to Tuesday class, what is his name? Fong. Yes, Fong. Actually, he attended the first retreat only, that one. And he was the one that was responsible for the condition, for the dependent origination, remember? He asked the question. Oh, then the condition come out for me to explain again in detail. That day one was very good. Well, a lot of people ask very good questions. Well, they can see to a certain extent already. Then they just want to understand the missing link and all those things. Oh, then the example given were all very good. And my daughter also. Because that was the second retreat she attended. That's why she reflected, contemplated. Then she asked very good questions. Then she also gave example, which is very good. Because it's multidimensional, it's not single dimensional. I saw in the email recently, last time you remember I told you the Dhammasuka website, US. Recently got one guy, he not bad. He did, this guy is, I think, Indian or don't know what. His name is Indu. I-N-D-U. He got one sutta. Then I think he also meditated, he also cultivated. Then he, somehow, he got a very close understanding or good understanding of what consciousness is. Then the dependent origination, the dwelling, he go and tell them, it's not one-dimensional one, the telling. Not like that one. He said, a lot of things happen. Then he doesn't know about the seven universes. He said, a lot of all these things simultaneously can happen. Well, he meditated into it, and he developed the mindfulness. That's how he understands. Then he even, I think he got a teacher who teach him. I don't know who that teacher is, but the guy not bad. He go and quote one sutta. It seems there is one sutta. I don't know what the sutta's name already about. He mentioned, he said, if somebody, a cultivator from our earth during the Buddha's time, it seems he wants to understand how can these four elements exist? Means he wants to transcend birth and death. So that he can realize a state of enlightenment where the four elements cannot stay there. And he asks all the people on earth. Nobody can answer him. Then he went to the heaven. This fellow was psychic. He went to the heaven and he asked. Also nobody can answer you. So they finally told him, you have to go to the Brahma. So he went all the way to Mahabrahma. Mahabrahma also cannot answer here. But Mahabrahma must be the one that the Buddha saw. The Buddha talked to him. Remember? He went up to the Maya Brahma and told him, you are not the creator. You can fall back. It must be that one. That one told him, I cannot answer you. But I have met the Buddha. The Buddha told me, it can only happen if the form and mind cease. In that sutta. And he knows the form and mind must cease. Then only the four elements. No, cannot exist there. That is the unconditioned. Otherwise, the condition will work. The four elements definitely there. So, now only they start to like, then I think the nun, that nun came out. He replied. He said, very interesting sharing, very good sharing. Yeah, he explained about the consciousness. He is quite good, this guy. He explained it in such a way so that these people can understand. But there is a lot more things that he haven't explained. But for me, to have the ability to express and explain it this way and get the sutta to support is already not bad. This guy is not bad. But this guy is very humble. He is not there to argue. He just write. Then I think he must have privately shared something with another one of the members. Then this member wrote to that nun, the Kema. The Kema is below, he's Bimala Ramsey's right hand nun, who actually conduct one. Nowadays, I don't see Bimala Ramsey replying already. He leave it to her. So, after he wrote to this nun, the nun find it not easy to understand him. Then the nun wrote back an email to him. Can you please fill in the blank, like the equivalent word and all this? This nun find it interesting. Because he managed to define the not only the five aggregate of form and mind. He also had the like the content of consciousness, concomitant. Like the word manasikara, attention, all things. She doesn't really understand what this thing is. No. Then this guy used some English word. Manasikara is attention. Then attention he defined. Then he asked him, where do you get all these words? Well, it's not in the sutta. Understand? Only some of the words in Pali are in the sutta, but the equivalent English word they cannot understand. And they go and mix up with what they call. There is another one they call Ekagata. Ekagata is one-pointedness and all those things. So this guy who received the email from the nun, he said, I also don't know. I heard it from Hindu. The same guy. Then only this nun directed the email to him. And the way he explained that, very interesting. Very simple the way he explained it. That's why the discussion is getting more and more interesting now. Otherwise, you don't have somebody who has that understanding. It's not easy. Then they cannot understand that Nibbanic thing. Not easy. And this guy got it quite near. At least he know where the four elements cannot exist. So because of that Mahabrahma's advice, the sutta come about. The sutta talk about this. The sutta got mentioned, no, he went to all the rhyme. Until Mahabrahma. I also didn't know got such sutta. Where the four elements. I also don't know. I forgot to remember the name. I think it's under the no what Majjhika Nikaya or don't know what. Middle language, something like that. I see whether I can locate the email or not. Then I let you know, then you go and check it out. So it's getting quite interesting. That's why when you have somebody who understands, they explain to you different. So what I want to advise is you all should try to express it out wherever you got condition. Don't worry about wrong or right. Right and wrong is not important. It's your ability to express. Then you will learn a lot of things. Whenever you try to use memory, it doesn't work. You realize it's not smooth flow. Like that day, who told me? I think Tammy. Thursday class. After the class. You remember? You said suddenly got one day, end of the retreat. She was having this problem. She wanted to just take turn to express or answer the thing. Then you were the number 9 or number 10. I let you explain better. Then after that, I will share, which was very good.
Okay. It was like that because at the end it was last year. At the end of the retreat, the teacher will encourage us to give our feedback or maybe, you know, whatever, like, you know, after the retreat. So it's like we sit in a circle and then one by one we just stop. Then I'm the 10th one. And then having like public speaking fear is very strong.
Yeah, public speaking fear.
So I, when the first one, second one, third one, then when I saw the mic is passing one by one, then I felt my heart was beating so fast. And then I noticed, oh my God, and I already have a note.
Yeah, prepare something.
But I don't know how to link them into one message and everything. I don't know. So I like, and then just watching the heart beating, and then when the mic went towards me, when I hold the mic, then suddenly this it's like I came at the side, and then I'm not the one.
There's another entity inside there that speaks.
This thing that
is from your nature.
It started like I'm very nervous. Then after it's not me already.
Somebody take over.
And then it just say out the three things.
And link them out beautifully.
And then I was at the side like.
It's not her.
And this thing was keep on speaking.
Then
after that,
I remember I just said everything is so wonderful, sadhu, very good, I don't remember what I said, you cannot recall it because the nature come out, and when you speak directly from the heart, from the nature, it's like not you talking inside there, it's the understanding that unfolds, that's why it can happen. And when he prepared the note, the three, she cannot link one, she already said it, she can't link. But when she took over the mic, then she said she was nervous because not used to public speaking and all those things. Then all of a sudden, that internal nature, the entity take over. And he started to explain the whole thing so smoothly, so beautifully, and connect everything up. Then he concluded, I think it's really wonderful, and all those things. And it can be like that, because your nature knows, that's why I told her very lightly, it's from her past cultivation. Because when the thing connects, it has this understanding, it will come out. Then when you share, like last time I used to tell people, it's not me sharing, understand? This form of mind is just a vehicle, but that nature inside comes out. And sometimes you will be very amazed, how come all this teaching comes out? It's not to say I don't know, it's from my past. That's why I told you a lot of this understanding and teaching that I share, I never learned this life. Then how can it come out? How did it come out? You think got magic? No magic. It's from the past. Then when it inherits from the spiritual nature, it will come. Then when there is condition, this will come out. Like Hui Ning, he understands straight away. He didn't go to school. He don't have any teacher. How did he understand? It's the same. Because that nature, when connected, it will inherit the spiritual nature. And the spiritual nature, you can only inherit if you touch the silent mind, the true mind. You can realize that one day it will start to inherit. Before that, you only inherit karma. That karmic nature is deep. After that, then the spiritual nature connects, then you start to inherit, you become very different, you progress very fast. then your cultivation, a lot of things will happen. The sign will come, message will come. Then you will know what to do. That's why cultivation is not what people think. It's very different. And when you go through it, you will know. That's why I speak from the heart, from the nature. Don't try to remember. Whatever you try to recall is knowledge. Knowledge. But important facts, mechanical things, you must remember. Otherwise, your bank account also you cannot remember. Your signature, how you sign, you cannot get money out. But nowadays, can thumbprint with the IC, then you get your money out. Otherwise, you go ATM, you put in your card, you forgot your PIN. That one you must remember. So a lot of things, what they call important memories, not psychological memory. Psychological memory is your emotional. That one, no need to remember. Finish means finish. If you try to accumulate that one, I tell you, you will have a lot of problems. Your scars of memory, your unhappy moment, what people do and all those things, you will accumulate without you knowing it. Then when the condition arrives, you see the flow, the memory all come back. About last time that guy did all this to me. Or you go, like NVIDIA, go to France. Then they remember, oh, don't go there, they got last time. All this memory, without you knowing it, it accumulated. At that time when it happened, you are not happy, understand? You reacted to it. Or there is fear, there is phobia. People did that to you, understand? And it went in already. This is what attachment is all about. Because you have fear. You are affected, you have phobia. The right word is phobia. Phobia is a type of fear that impact into you. That's why they call it phobia. And without you knowing it, when you know it. And this one dormant, anasana, after that. Then it can release through your dream. Your psychological dream, fear, all those things, you will release. That's why sometimes for no reason in your dream, you got fear and all those things. Panic. Then the subconscious has to release all this trapped fear and phobia, insecurity and all things. Not until it's completely released, you cannot have peace of mind when you sleep. Then if you want to be free of all this accumulation, you need wisdom. Sankara anicca, sankara dukkha. Then you just relax and silent. Then whatever it is, it cannot arise anymore. But that movement is very sensitive. Upon contact, the consciousness arises. Before any of this input to stir or do the movement, it's straight away aware. Then it will cease. It will not continue. That's why I say that awareness perceived, maybe through memory, but it will not proliferate. It will not continue to tell story like normal people. Understand? Then all the memory come back. Wow, that time, you luckily, nothing happened. This will continue on. Then you see somebody, you will tell the story to that person also. You know what happened. So all this come from the senses. Then when your mindfulness is very different, very stable, you will see a lot of this movement, the very fine mental activity and movement, even the accumulation, the what they call the attachment, the craving, the phobia, you see them all inside that. And you know how they went in. But you give the slightest meaning when in. The slightest resentment or unhappiness, then sometimes it's a phobia. It impact upon you. Then it went in and it's very strong. Even exam fever, exam fear during our uni day, until now, a lot of people is still having to go through. They haven't really resolved it. Because it's not easy for normal people. Because these are deep trapped, what they call fear. Which is not expressed out. Because that fear of failing the exam is so intense. And unconsciously it went in deep into your subconscious and your unconscious. And it needs wisdom and understanding to root all these things out. So that sharing was very good. So what I want you to understand is, don't worry about all those things that you have understood. A very major mistake that cultivators do is they always want to use memory to remember what they have understood. Forget about it. This is the wrong way. Because you depend on memory means you are not cultivating correctly. Because you remember things and use that knowledge to act. So acting according to memory is not acting at all. Forget about memory. Memory is only useful for mechanical things. Like you want to remember certain thing which is useful. Then for study and all those things, you use memory. But the one that has psychological fear and emotion, don't accumulate. Because these are the things that bring forth suffering to you. Suffering, misery. And it's a type of delusion, where you still cannot understand the form and mind is not you. But the moment you understand the form and mind is not you, that whole creation like collapses in front of you. The phenomenal world of external form, that form and mind delusion, is like holding collapse in front of you. Collapse means it got no power over you. Because you can see very clearly the phenomenal world, the world of form, is created by the mundane mind. Not real. Dependent originating condition arising. So when you see it very clearly, not real, then they got no power over you. Then you go into mind. When you go into mind, you realize a lot of problems resolved in it. Male, female, race, all these things, difference of whatever, what they call, determined by the external form one, that form delusion no more. Like the wind and the flag, you won't argue anymore. Then you know your mind moves. Because mind is a forerunner of all things. Then you return all external form to mind. Then you check through mindfulness. You see all your movement, dependent origination. Then how you stir, how you react, how it makes you emotional, how it makes you fearful. That's why you have to see all this and understand. Then you will come to that realize, you're all along. That delusion has been causing you all this. Then when the Buddha moved in deeper, once you go beyond form, you go into mind, you realize the aggregate of mind is just four. Feeling, perception, sankhara, and consciousness. Sankhara is very powerful. Of course, feeling and perception is key. Very important, that's why it's separated out. But the whole thing is sankhara. And this content of consciousness is what you have to understand. If your content is wrong, that's why when the evil roots are there, it will condition you into negativity. That's why this content, you are very careful, you are very mindful. That's why I say you have to understand what constitutes evil. You understand? The greed, hatred. Understand it clearly, deeply. Then in your mindfulness, you can see them, no matter what form they take. Because you understand the extent of evil. Then what are the important essential dhamma? That's what you have to understand. When you understand what constitutes evil, then you will know how to deal with them. Then when you are mindful, aware, the five ways to overcome unwholesome thought, wrong thought, to root out delusion, all those things, you also have to meditate to develop the wisdom. That's why the third way and the fourth way give you the understanding and the wisdom. The third way allow you to deal with the problem. You just silent, aware, and exist. Then you realize, all these are dependent originating, condition arising. Anger is not me, fear is not me, phobia, because before that I don't have. After I react and stir, then it comes. Then this is not knowledge anymore. No, I see it inside happening. Then you cannot be deceived anymore. It's just like somebody cheat you before, you still trust him. No more, isn't it? You saw. Then like Elisha, the moment he saw the defilement trying to delude him and cause her to behave the old way, he said, and now you have did this to me 16 years, and now, straight away it is. Because all these are evil rules, wrong thought. Thought that condition, fear, worry, anxiety, suffering, misery. And straight away they lose power, lose power. Then ultimately, finally, one day, when they reach friction, they realize cannot come out anymore. This one cannot move anymore, cannot stir anymore. Then everything is just the way it is. We have that wisdom stabilized already. Then you can accept things as they are. The world is the world, people. Then your whole noble eightfold path cultivation come out. Right view leading to right thought, right spirit. Then you know how to deal. Then all this understanding free you. That's why without understanding you cannot. No matter how fantastic your meditation is, if it doesn't bring about wisdom, forget about it. All those fantastic mind states, even you can perform magic, psychic, so on. You can do this, can do that, so on. The form and mind, you still don't understand. This is not you, not real. You don't understand. You don't understand how you function as a human being. You cannot see the dependent origination, movement and link, and how you become what you are, how suffering comes to be. So all this will become very clear if you cultivate with understanding according. So after you come into mind, then you will understand. Then the last one is to go beyond even mind. Means feeling, perception, especially sankhara. Yeah, after you've gone through all those practices on sankhara, all the wrong view, all those things, the evil road one causes you, then your vow, the important essential dhamma that you vow to have the understanding lie after lie, you will have that. So that every time you come, you have this understanding, and you will not get entangled anymore. So once this is rooted out, your sankhara become different. Your sankhara become pure. They call it non-grasping. Feeling become pure feeling. Perception become pure perception. Sankhara become just sankhara. Understand? Means duality is still there, like that day, Ingbi, they all ask. Adeline asked. How to transcend duality? Duality belongs to the conditioned world. Created by the mundane mind. It exists in the conditioned world. So you can live in the world of map, and yet you are without map. Where you know it's not real. But it's a convention of the conditioned world. So you use it. You express it. You are in it, but you are not affected by it. Because you know these are not real. These are meant for communication, expression. That's how you become very different. Then when you go beyond this mundane mind, you realize the cessation, you become very different. Then you understand clearly that all the while, this creation from the pure awareness, the mundane mind that come out, these are all not real. That's why Wu Yun, Qie Kong, the five aggregate of form and mind are empty, really empty. No reality. That's why it is impermanent, lead to suffering. Empty. Not real. Not what you think. Once this one stabilizes, your nature will awaken. But before that, you will insight into it and you will understand it. So that glimpse or that insight, understand, is in the nature already. But you cannot express it. Understand? That is the path you go in. Then after that, when it stabilizes, you realize the friction. And this is what the real cultivation is all about. So when the friction happens, means the understanding stabilizes, anytime, any place, anywhere, if you want to share the Dhamma, you can share. No problem. You don't need to prepare anything. Condition come up, you just know what the thing is, and you will know how to share. So this is important for you all to develop that clear understanding, so that you cultivate with understanding. Understanding means the three hallmarks of winning. First one, get it right, no thought. That's a relaxed silence. Realize that. Without thought, who are you? What are you? What is that pure awareness? Before the knowing, before the words, before the concept. Stay in that tranquility, the stillness of mind, paucity, that silent mind, and live with that. Once you stabilize that silent mind, your daily mindfulness become very different. Then when you are able to do everything in that manner, with the daily mindfulness, your samadhi in the midst of life will arise. Then you can see things as they are. Then you can actually understand things beautifully as they are. And everything will just be in accordance with nature's condition. Then you see the flow. The flow of nature. The physical flow of living beings. Then you see the mental flow. Then thing is just the way it is. Cannot be otherwise. Then you realize suchness. That's how you transcend. For my mind, you transcend birth and death. You transcend the world of duality. Okay, we better end. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu. Okay, we will do the sharing of merits. Starting with the devas. Akasata cha bhumata devanaga mahindika punyang tan anumoditva cirang rakantu lokasasana itawata jamehi sampadan punya sampadan sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampati siddhiya idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo idang menya tinang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo imina punya kamena mame bala samagamo Satang samagamo hotu yava nivana patiya sadhu sadhu sadhu. Okay, pay respect triple japa, then we end.
Yeah.